Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Okay. So, for those of you listening to the audio file, you missed a comedic moment while I chugged down this beer. There's a little window thing. And I'm like, that's okay to chug down the beer. I've got a beer here ready to go. So I'm grabbing it. Here it is. And Pip and Wayne tells me, well, that's not a twist beer. Usually my beers are twist beers, or usually MGM 64s or whatever they are. So I'm at a loss. Hey everybody, welcome to the Ira Brings Me a Bottle Opener show. And look at that. Oh, say hi to that was Marie's hair. Hi Marie. Welcome everybody to Living in Las Vegas Extravaganza on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, it's a warm and friendly crowd today. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney, and I'm joined by my naughty jelly sweet. You love her. You want to touch her in... No, this is what gets me in trouble every single time. Why does Scott sleep on the couch? Because of the opening of this show. That's why. Anyways, she's my naughty jelly sweet. I love her. She almost got teary-eyed because we said I love yous right before the show, and I was going to play the song that we did, and that makes her all teary-eyed. That's Melissa Whitney. Big hand, everybody. Who we got working today? We've got a fascinating crew going on here. Normally, I would say Jacob's running the TriCaster, but I think that might not be correct today. Am I right over there? What's happening over there? Anybody? Tell me. Somebody?
It's a role reversal.
Look
going
at this. Look at that crew. Her name is Sass, Studio Apprentice Sam. Studio Apprentice Sam, Sass. Sass has already told me that the company that she used to work at is better than this one. She's told me.
Are you making stuff up?
No. She got an iPad from the last company. I'm going to give her an eye exam. I'm not going to give
an
her an
IOU.
iPad.
An IOU.
I'm going to give her an IOU. Oh, that would have been better. Let's do that one again. She got an iPad. I'm going to give her an IOU. I'll be here all week. Good night.
Hey, anyway, I'm funny.
You are funny. So Sam, go back to that shot camera before. There's Sam working on the old TriCaster. There's Jacob, he of the powerful and a nice shirt. He's basically supervising. And there's Pip and Wayne. Pip and Wayne's rocking the live chat, everybody. That's your crew right there. This is going to be a fascinating show. You remember that game, Two Truths and a Lie? This is kind of like that. We're going to talk about one bad and two good. One bad thing that I thought was kind of nutty.
And unusual.
Yeah.
Or
really
confusing. Perplexing.
Well, let's just use all those words and more.
It just took me a while to get to the word I thought was right.
I think perplexing was
perplexing.
That was good. So we're going to talk about what... I got an email from one of the properties here that was fascinating in a bad way. And then we did a couple things this weekend that were really a lot of fun. And so we're going to share that as well. But before we do any of that, let's go ahead and say hello to our live studio audience. Hey! And of course, a hello, a konnichiwa, if you will, to the live chat. Konnichiwa.
Live chat.
In the his house, baby. By the way, this is the only show that promises that if you follow our advice and you go to the places that we suggest you go, like for example, Ellis Island Casino, you'll come out of there $60 richer today. Happened. Live studio audience.
Really?
$60 richer because of our advice. What? We don't want to brag. We don't want to boast.
What'd you do?
The show that could give you the most. They raffle stuff, card stuff, and it all was because we suggested to go there and hang out with the prostitutes.
What were you guys doing there, I wonder? Were they having pizza or?
Well, they barbecue, and then they got into some gambling.
They have
and
a barbecue place at Ellis Island?
Yes, they do. Very, very good barbecue place.
Really?
According
What's
to
it
the
called? Do you know?
Ellis Island barbecue place.
Is that not where we ate, right?
No, we ate at the restaurant, which was literally called Restaurant.
I thought that was the only restaurant they had.
Well, they have another place called Barbecue Place. Probably not right there. Metro Pizza as well.
Well, that's
and
interesting.
Restaurant. Isn't it fascinating that the live audience feels so comfortable with us that they can just shout out and be a
Maybe
part of the show?
Maybe they should be mic'd out there.
We should
there.
Just put a boom mic there and yeah. just have those. Sam, could you make that happen? Boom mic audience next week. Atta girl. So let's jump right in. We're going to do a quick show today because last show I had to pee the whole time. And I'm not going to let that happen again.
It's true.
No, it was actually not true. It was true.
Cheryl did too.
Did she have? She did have to pee.
You guys reminded me. You know what you reminded me of? You know that commercial where the guys walk in and his plumbing.
You
is
did
all,
this last week.
Well, that's what you remind me of.
Hmm. Because all us husbands out there want to remind our kids and daughters and wives and everybody what? Around us, everybody, that we are basically walking plumbing. But before I talk about what was odd. I believe we have a live chat comment or question. Oh. Wayne, hit me, baby.
Well, it's actually left over from last week. It's funny you brought that up again. During my mother-in-law watched last week's show, and she actually sent me an email that said, and she's a nurse, so I don't know, you might want to take this to heart. She says, from years of experience in the business, Scott is the right age for developing prostate problems. You might want to tell him to get a checkup.
Okay, good night. I don't need this anymore. What's your mom's?
Well, I think she's right. You probably should get it checked out.
Wayne, what's your mom's name?
Mother-in-law, Arvella.
What was her name?
Arvella.
Arvella. Arvella, I would like to offer you a show on the Vegas Video Network 2. We want you to, she's a nurse, you said?
Yes.
I like it. Little nurse outfit, perhaps topless. Anyways. That's what we're shooting for the Vegas Video Network 2 version.
Doing proctology exams?
Yeah, we'll do some live proctology exams.
Isn't that what
exams.
They are, right? Proctologists?
Yeah, sure, we'll do that. And you can check my prostate. Prostate? Prostate. Live. Just like Katie Couric did.
That was her colon.
Oops. My mistake. Okay, I guess we won't be doing that anyways. But thanks to Wayne's mother-in-law for caring about my...
Actually, she problems. Might have a point, so maybe we can have a little conversation later.
Oh, I don't like those conversations. I don't like them. I gotta go. I've been delaying this. I gotta go have somebody look at my butt.
Yeah, because when you turn 50, you have to go have that done.
Which happened just a couple days ago.
Yeah. So, Ryan, when you turn 50, you're supposed to go get a poop shoot.
liar.
So you know, maybe.
But you had it done, not because you were 50. You're not even close to that, sadly.
No.
But
no.
You had it checked.
Check some things out.
Right.
No big deal.
And he says no big deal.
Heck yeah, it is not a big deal.
And I think it's a big deal when somebody puts something in my butt.
You're asleep. You're taking a nap.
That if somebody's gonna put something in my butt, I want to be awake.
No, I don't think you do.
I want to know. Hey. Are you putting that in my butt? Yes, I am. Okay, just want to make sure that we're on track on that.
And you're just really light, like if you actually are awake enough, from what I understand, that you respond to commands like, you know.
Like bend over?
Like, yes.
Like bark like a dog?
Yes.
Squeal like a pig? call me daddy? Screw
yeah.
that.
But you just don't, you just don't remember any of it.
I just want to say that the way you just pitched that, you're awake just enough to respond to commands was not a selling point.
But you
to
don't
me.
Remember any of it.
Oh, that's even better. So it's like roofies.
Yes.
Great. What happened last night? I don't know, but somebody was in my butt. That's what you're picturing to me right now.
Look, I don't care what you need to do to be comfortable with it.
But I got to do it.
But it has to happen. So.
Okay, anyways.
And I've got witnesses now.
So anyways, you're watching the Living in Proctology show. And I promise we'd get into, okay, let's.
You mean some real content or just versus SBS?
Talking about my butt, which is a very cute butt, by the way.
It is, especially in your Levi jeans.
Well, there you have it.
Have you guys noticed, Jacob?
No, for God's sake.
Jacob, did you notice how cute his butt is in Levi?
Of course Jacob does. He chases me around here like it's crazy. But, and I like, you know what? Sometimes I let him catch me. Sometimes I can't stop him from catching me. He's got this real long stride. That's the problem.
He's very quick, isn't he?
All right, let's go. So I got this email. Let's take the Wayback Machine for a moment, shall we? Remember back in, well, we bought our house in 03. We took possession in 04, and then we moved here in 05. And that back then was the heyday of Las Vegas. This is, you know, come picture if you will. Unemployment, 4%, 4.5%.
Things were great.
Casinos were killing it. Houses were being built everywhere. And one of the things that...
There was a line to get a house.
There was, of which that we participated.
Yep.
And one of the things that you noticed was that the casinos back then didn't do a lot of dealing. You were going to pay what you're going to pay.
Room rates were high.
Cirque du Soleil, discounts, please. That would never happen.
Two for one.
Please. This was a time where you basically paid full boat. Now, of course, there was the show tickets for locals and that kind of stuff going on. But overall, the casinos had kind of an attitude going. All right. Then as things got a little tougher, you started to see more deals available to locals. And just as a reminder, there are almost, or probably now, 2 million people who live in the Las Vegas Valley. I've always said this, that if it were me and I was selling a product to a consumer, and I lived in Las Vegas, I would make deals to locals because there's a bunch of them here. And so, surprisingly enough, 2006, 2007, 2008, you started to see these deals. Even Cirque du Soleil started doing locals deals. And there's a show out there that we've talked about called Le Rev at Wynn.
Oh, you're not going to describe that?
And it was a good show. Highlights, poop on Melissa. Bird flew over her head and pooped on her. And I had to pee for the whole show.
Again.
I believe my bladder is about that big.
But maybe it's the prostate.
Or
so
it could
let's
be,
continue on.
Could be a prostate problem. Or it could be the fact that I'm drinking like a fish before that. It could be any of those things. Anyways, it's a very good show. So for a while on the Living in Las Vegas website, we had a gal writing for us who I asked her, I just want you to find local deals. If there's a local deal, I don't care who it is. We're not going to charge them. We just want to get it up there because we want to support the local idea here. And so we had a bunch of those deals, one of which was a two-for-one deal at Le Rev. So if you're a local, you can get two tickets for the price of one at Le Rev. So we put that up there and got a lot of activity for that. Google indexed us, and Google really liked Living in Las Vegas website, and they really like the Vegas Video Network. And so a lot of people would do a search for, you know, local deal, Le Rev, and they'd head off to that website. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. We're helping locals. We're helping the Wynn folks. Life is good. Well,
you're a bringer together of people.
I'm a bringer togetherer. Which is a t-shirt. So I did that, and life is good. And then last week I got this email, the most fascinating email I've received in a very long time. Wait, Scott, do you have a copy? Well, yes, I do. So here's what the email says. Now, I've blocked out the person's name because I didn't think it was necessary to show it. But it basically says, subject, Le Rev, the dream offer. Hello, please remove the Le Rev, the dream. By the way, it's not Le Rev, it's Le Rev, the dream. Please remove the Le Rev the Dream promotion of please prefer or check the link below. Locals only Le Rev at Wynn Las Vegas, 2-for-1. Our call center has been receiving phone calls about this offer. However, this is not a valid Le Rev the Dream offer. Please advise. And then she provides the link. So I looked at this email and initially thought, well, this must be a joke. Who would not want people to
free
call
traffic.
Them? Right?
Free traffic, right?
What is this? And The first thing I thought was, you know what? I think the casinos are getting cocky again. Because the truth of the matter is, I bet you anybody listening or watching this right now could think of a dozen ways to better handle that deal. The truth of the matter is...
You mean if somebody called you and said, hey, I want this deal.
Yeah, you would offer them another deal or something.
Because at least you have them on the line.
Yeah.
You have an interested party.
Right. And you wouldn't go to a website that is driving traffic to your call center and say, please do not drive any traffic to our call center.
Well, how would you have handled that differently?
I would have said, hey, that particular offer is no longer valid. Here's the replacement offer.
No, I mean, how would you have handled their email to you differently?
How would I handle what?
How would you have handled their email to
me? I would say, hey, we love that you're doing this. Appreciate the traffic. We have a new offer that replaces the existing one. Please use this instead. Done.
So at least then they'd still get the traffic.
Right. So they said, just cut the whole show out. We're not going to, or cut that whole email or that whole post out. But we're not going to do that because Google has indexed it, and that drives traffic to our website, so we're not going to do it. So what we did, first of all, I said, okay. You don't want people to buy your tickets. Well, that's fine. And I said,
why do you think they didn't make a recommendation? Or
I don't know.
Why would you think they just weren't forward thinking? Like, okay, hey, they're obviously driving traffic to our site.
Yeah.
Why don't we, instead of having them promoting this, why don't we ask them to promote this current deal? Why wouldn't they not have done that?
That's a great question.
Doesn't that seem like business 101?
It does. And I have talked to 4 or 5 people about this.
Because you thought it was so...
Odd? People who are in all kinds of different levels of business, and everybody was shocked.
It's an unusual business
email.
Move.
Like, it was so weird.
I'm in HR, and even I would have thought, hey, you know what? If your job is marketing...
Right, and so, you know, getting indexed high on Google is not easy. And so here's a website that is indexed high on Google for this particular search term. They've got, and they're not even paying us. One of the people who I work with or know or whatever basically said, what I should have said was, you're welcome, send me a check, and we'll keep moving on. I mean, exactly. And she basically says, remove the post. Well, that's just not going to happen. We're not going to remove a post that's been indexed by Google. Anybody who's in business understands that. So what we did is we put a thing up on the website that basically says, hey, this post or this offer is no longer valid. And you can see on the website if you guys pop that up real quick. This offer is no longer valid. I think it says update. Now, we've just been asked by the entertainment show sales manager from those guys to remove the promotion from our website as it's no longer a valid offer. We wish we could, provide another promotional opportunity, but none was offered. Sorry. And that's it. And then we lined out, if you look at the bottom of that post, we lined out the call to action. The call to action. Oh my God. Sales 101. My head. What was that? Stroke.
Well, I know. It goes against everything.
It's stunning. It's stunning. So maybe business is booming over at Larev, the dream. But
where you can be pooped onto.
God, I just don't understand. I just don't understand.
See?
Even
Sam now knows how funny I am.
And she's taking the shot. It just was so crazy. Okay, anyway, so we did what they asked. We told people it was no longer available. I would invite the folks over at The Win to provide us an opportunity to share another locals deal with them or with our locals to help drive traffic.
Heck yeah.
I'm saying I want to do it for you guys. It's a good show. How about, first of all, if you're no longer offering a locals deal, shame on you. If you are offering a locals deal, shame on you for not telling me that and having us put it up again. So you've got two shames.
Free traffic.
Reach
and
out.
They know that you are driving traffic.
Clearly.
I mean, enough to where they...
Yeah, how much traffic are we driving that the place actually calls us and says you're giving us...
Well,
we're getting too many calls.
You.
We're getting emails and says we're getting too many calls to our call center.
I mean... Well, all right.
I expect to get a lot of calls. Would you please write about us? And we'll pay you to drive traffic. Anyways... So it is a good
That's
show. It's a fun show. Win, folks, please reach out to us and say we've got a replacement offer. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we're going to talk about a couple really fun things that we did last weekend. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. We'll see you in a second.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Hello. Oh, hello. I thought we'd come back in camera too. Hey, there's a couple ways that you might want to reach out to us. Why would you want to do so? Well, if you're Wynn, we would ask you to reach out to us and offer us a deal that we can give to all of the locals around here in the Las Vegas. But let's say you want to send us an email. We can do that. The email address is onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Let's say you want to hear your dulcet tone on here. We used to have a toll-free number. Actually, we still have it. I get a lot of heavy breathing calls every once in a while. But we have new technology in place. Really? Why? Because we're technology people. And if you go to our website, you look on the right side there, you click on a little button, and then boop-a-dee-bop-bop, there you go. You start recording. You do it from your magical computer. That's because we love you, and we want to care for you as often as we possibly can. Of course, we've got the live chat. That's fun. You can interact with Pimp and Wayne and give me prostate recommendations. And if you don't see us live, of course, you can see us on VegasVideoNetwork.com, iTunes, Roku, YouTube, and every Friday night on KSHP AM 1400 from 8 to midnight-ish. All right. Let's talk a little bit about pizza.
Do you think everybody knows that pizza is my favorite food?
Pizza
have
is.
Have we ever discussed that?
Oh, we probably have.
On here?
Yeah, it's a good food.
Pizza seriously is my favorite food.
And there are the truth is, you could, if you're having a couple beers and you're at the house and you're watching, I don't know, The Usual Suspects, Pizza Hut might work. But no. No.
I actually like Domino's better than Pizza Hut.
Oh, there you go. And our sponsor today is Pizza Hut. Okay, so that didn't go well. But go ahead. You want to say something?
I was just going to say that prior to this weekend, Grimaldi's was my favorite.
Neat. I had a menu with me, and I don't have it with me anymore. Do I still have that menu? Oh, for the love of God. What kind of game am I playing here? Ladies and gentlemen, Pimp and Wayne. So this weekend, thank you, Wayne. This weekend we decided to go out and eat.
Well, we were taking care of some family
stuff. Some business stuff. And we were out in the Summerlin area, and we thought, you know, we've heard of this place called... Website, please. Do Forney. There it is. And first, let's talk about what that name means. Because now we know. Do means?
Two.
And Forney means? Ovens.
Oven.
Plural for ovens. That one is...
I don't know how to do it.
We rehearsed that.
Ovens? I don't know. What do you do?
We've actually had Alex Taylor, who's the operations partner there. He was on top of the food chain a little while ago with Al Mancini. Super nice guy, and did a great job there. And we've heard all these great things about this restaurant. Now, they're located, it's kind of in an interesting place, and I had a chance to talk to Alex about their location. It's pretty smart. You know, the 215 is a circle, almost a complete circle around the valley. So they're in the southwest corner of 215 off of
Town Center. They're in the kind of the south part of Summerlin.
Right. So it's the southwest of the whole valley, southern part of Summerlin. And I actually want to skip ahead about this. I asked him about the location because for where we are, it seemed a little out of place, but it's brilliant. He said, look, if and a lot of people want to...
Wait, do you feel that way because it wasn't in a big strip mall or it wasn't like at Boca Park?
Well, that Boca Park's it. So he goes, you know, a lot of folks want to open up a restaurant
but
in the Boca Park.
But that's what made you feel weird about the location,
yeah.
Right?
He goes, Boca Park's closer to where we live, but his reasoning was
smart. It's a much busier sort of hub there, too.
For sure. But his argument was this. Okay, first of all, so the Boca Park area, which is, what is that, Charleston and Rampart, pretty popular area. He goes, but the problem is, think of all the people who could be, you know, our customers. Okay, what do you mean? He goes, well, for example, look at folks at Henderson. If you're in Henderson and you want to go to Boca Park, it's a pain in the ass. You go up 15 to 95, you get off at Summerlin Parkway, you go down Rampart, zip zop, oh my God, don't want to do it.
We talk a lot about how congested that Boca Park area can be. And depending on the time of the year and what's going on, it can be kind of annoying over there, the traffic.
Exactly. Whereas he says, now look where we are now. I don't care where you are. You get on you get on 215 and you just whip over here. And 215 is a great freeway. It's still not congested from what I've ever seen.
No.
You're doing a speed limit the whole time. So if you're living in Henderson or North Las Vegas or you're in Summerlin or whatever, you get on 215 and you're there. Okay. So we went there. This is a picture of the front of their building. It's in a, you know, kind of an industrial park. It's nothing, you know, special about the park, but it's interesting. The minute you walk in there, or before you even walk in there, you can kind of go, this smells a little different than the average pizza place.
Well, you smell the oven.
Yeah. So we went in there. Alex saw us there. It was very nice that he recognized us. I thought that was very sweet of him. We had an outside table. Again, that same shot you just saw, you can see they have an outside area that's closed off. But they can open up the windows. You can see the windows are opened up there.
It's like a hard structure.
Yeah.
So in the winter, you can have protection.
Right.
Right, and still sit out. They can still utilize that space. But in the summer, they can open that up. Great air circulation. You know, you have more of that outdoor dining feel.
Yeah. And what I was impressed with first, we went there. This was noon or whatever, you know. And Alex, again, he's one of the partners. He was there in the middle of the day. Greeting, yeah, good map there, good selection there. You can see 215 coming across, and there's Town Center right there. So just a little bit off of Town Center, or off of 215, sorry. So I was impressed that he was there in the middle of the day on a Saturday. You know, it's not going to get busy until later. I thought that was kind of nice. He was greeting, you know, pretty much everybody who walked in. And so we sat down, had a nice outside table, and, you know, did the standard deciding what we wanted to eat. They had a full bar and specialty drinks, and a real clever specialty drink idea. And I asked him about this. He had a variety of maybe five or six different drinks. I don't have all the names, but they described.
We talked about it because we were kind of curious about how they set this up.
Yeah, so they described the vibe of the drink, but they didn't describe the actual ingredients of the drink.
They gave you a feeling of the drink.
Yeah, this is, you know, I wish I could remember one of the descriptions. I should have brought them.
Well, I got the drink called the Princess.
Naturally.
Of course. And it was called the Princess. And then it talked about Peruvian something, something, something. So I said to him, Peruvian, maybe that's Pisco, which is a liquor that's in Peru.
Right.
Or an alcohol. And I said, does this have Pisco in it? He's like, yeah, it has. Sort of a play on a pisco sour.
Right. It's smart.
So there's some hints in there.
Yeah. And he said the other reason we did that is because sometimes people won't order a drink because they think they don't like a particular ingredient. But if we describe the flavoring of a drink, they're more inclined to want to drink that. And then they'll ask. And if they're, you know, completely against gin, then we'll let them know. But it's a great curiosity creator is what it is.
Well, when you were reading the descriptions, well, that's what I was going to ask you. When you were reading them, we were kind of like, oh, that sounds good, right? Like,
it was
not because of the flavors, but because of the description. Like, oh, yes, I'd love to be on a tropical island or
yes,
whatever, right?
Desperately. Having my prostate checked. Sorry. Anyway, so we ordered our drinks, and then, of course, we did the test, which is the Caesar salad test.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say something, but go ahead.
Okay, good. Was it a bad thing?
No, but it was something that
dirty.
Was
nasty.
Yes, and I'll tell you later.
Oh, I can't wait. Are you going to spank me again? Again, as in, it happens every day.
I'm going to slip you one of those drugs again and you won't remember it. Maybe I'm spanking you every night and you just don't remember.
What are you doing? What is that? So, but we're laughing because somebody has got a hold of paint, apparently, and has decided to redesign the web. Oh, by the way, a special message to those of you over at Blip TV. You suck. All right, back to it. So, Caesar salad. I'm a big believer in the...
Moving on past the cocktails now?
Yeah, we talked about your cocktails.
Okay.
Right. Caesar salad, that's the big test, right? Or one of the tests. So we had a Caesar salad. We split a Caesar salad. It was, oh my goodness, good. Now, did they do a table side? No. Alex said the problem with table side...
not all table sides are good.
Well, Alex said that his issue with table side is it's hard for quality control issues.
Well, and we've had bad table side Caesar.
Have we?
Well... Yeah,
where?
I personally didn't like the one at Golden State.
I loved it because it was anchovy-ish.
No, I did not.
You don't
like
anchovy, that's your problem.
No, but I have had really great tableside Caesar salads.
We asked for anchovies, that's why I had anchovies in it. So you
well,
can't.
I had had any
well,
part of that.
Good, you fine. It's fine. Okay, my God. All right, so Caesar salad came. It was great. Now the focus of this restaurant, Deux Fournées, two ovens. We've got a photo of these ovens. Now, this is fascinating to me. This is a big deal, and it's hard to do, hard to replicate. These two ovens, they've got one for a style of pizza called Neapolitan. Thank you. And the other oven is set for Roman pizza. So for the Neapolitan
pizza. And I think the Neapolitan is the one that's the closer of those two ovens.
Right, so get this. Our traditional Neapolitan pizzas are baked at 900 degrees.
That's hot.
For no more than 90 seconds. And that produces a light, chewy crust with a crisp exterior.
But can you imagine? That's less time than you can microwave a Lean Cuisine pizza.
It is.
Lean Cuisine and a microwave, 3 minutes.
So if you see those, show up that photo again real quick.
90 seconds. I mean, that's
it's no time.
Nothing.
And what's interesting, you can see, you know, they're rounded and it's close. They said, you know, put your hand on that red orangey part, and it's warm, but it's not hot.
No, it wasn't.
But inside
hot.
That bad boy, 900 degrees. So the Neapolitan pizza is a thicker, more pliable, still a little bit of crispy. And then the other
crispy
oven
on the bottom.
Yeah, and then the other oven is for a Roman pizza, and this is more of the thin, crispy, light kind of crackly texture. And even there, that oven is at 500 degrees, and it cooks for all of 3 minutes. Crazy. When they are on top of the food chain, this is really hard to do. And they actually spoke about there are certain times of the day that might be better for some of these ovens than others because they get optimal heat and all that kind of stuff. So we said, well, we've got to do the Neapolitan deal because we like a little bit thicker. And we ordered the Deux Fournées pizza, which was San Marzano tomatoes, buffalo, mozzarella, house-made sausage. Let me just stop for a minute on that. This sausage was stunning.
We're definitely carnivores, if nothing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I spell or pronounce this right. Nukes bacon. So regular bacon costs about $100 or $1.50 a pound. He was telling us that this bacon costs $9 a pound.
But it tasted like $9 a pound.
It was so different. It just seemed...
What about the what are you going to say about the sausage?
It was amazing. Well, this is a kind of a restaurant that they had a media night where they invited all the food writers from around Vegas, and they didn't serve them their food. They didn't say, "Here's our pizza." You know, they served them all the ingredients that they use. So it wasn't the final product.
Compared to the ingredients,
these are the mushrooms we use. These are the peppers we use. This is the sausage we use.
But they compared it to the counterparts that are traditionally used by most restaurants,
right. So
that the food critics and writers can understand, here's the flavor difference, here's the taste difference between $9 a pound bacon versus the $1.50 bacon.
Right.
Right. Here's the difference between our in-house made sausage and our sausage by the store. The difference between mozzarella?
Yeah.
Made with cow milk versus buffalo milk.
Right.
And so, because they use,
stunning.
At this place, they use all premium grade, fresh, natural ingredients.
Right. So you got to figure if somebody's got enough balls to bring a bunch of food critics in or just to taste the ingredients. They clearly believe in the ingredients. We had a nice opportunity to talk to them a little bit afterwards. I think we've got a couple photos of us just kind of hanging out in the property. The pizza, by the way, was just stunning. There's Melissa and there's Alex. And gosh, I just forgot the chef's name.
Carlos,
great.
Executive chef. You know what's so funny about this whole thing? You know the food is good because we completely forgot to take pictures of it. Because we were so busy devouring the, even the Caesar salad and the pizza. We were so busy devouring, we forgot to take pictures
of it. So that again, that was a good picture of, there's my beautiful princess.
And I didn't know their theme was orange.
Right, so we match. That's part of the rules there. That's the one thing that I didn't like. You had to match when you worked, when you lived there or eat there. I didn't think that was fair.
That's not true.
Oh, you're right.
But, you know, the one thing that I want to make a comment on about the pizza, this pizza was the most authentic Italian tasting pizza I've ever had.
Right, and we've been
this
to Italy.
This is not, we have, and we ate a lot of pizza while we were in Italy.
Yes, we did.
This is not Pizza Hut pizza. It's not Domino's. I mean, it really tasted like authentic Italian pizza.
And yet, it's not terribly expensive. That pizza was $15.95.
Well, so I have a comment about that. If people are in the mind thought of, you know, two pizzas at Domino's for $5.99, they're getting two medium pizzas.
Yeah, right.
Right, for $12. This is not that kind of a thing.
No.
The pizza there is probably, you know, this big. There were four quarters that were served to us. So this is not where you're going to walk out of there going, oh my God, I'm so full, I ate so much pizza. But you're going to walk out of there saying, this was amazing.
But I was quite satisfied.
I was too. Well, we shared the salad and we shared the pizza.
Yep.
But it is worth every penny of that,
in my opinion. Yeah, they have a nice idea. We've talked about this concept before with wines. They have 24 wines for under $15. This is
for the glass,
and you know the majorities appear to be from Italy.
A lot, most of them are.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to say, okay, I can pick from any of these and not get jerked around price wise. So afterwards, we got a little bit of a tour of the restaurant, and it's a very nice restaurant.
It's got a good vibe too, a real open. Like,
yeah.
Did you like the decor?
Yeah, I did. Here's the bar.
I love the lighting.
Yeah, great lighting. They have, spaghetti westerns playing on the big screen
back
there.
Which I think is hilarious.
Very smart.
Great music playing.
Yeah, they had like Italian jazz playing in the background. And then
which is really cool. I never thought about Italian jazz.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then we got speaking of French, did we tell you that we listened to that stuff? Oh, it was hysterical.
It was great.
Was
French music?
It was fun. Track 5.
We're very global. We're very international.
We actually called her and was singing along with that and just left her a message and hung up. Because we do that. But then we got a nice little treat. So when we were in Italy, what was that town we were in?
Sorrento.
So we, ate and did whatever. And then we walked around these little stores that are no bigger than like the stage. And it's all, knick-knack, paddywhack crap. But everybody sells.
Cobblestone Street.
Everybody sells limoncello. Everybody. And the play is.
And to sell it.
You're right. To pitch it, they're like, would you like a taste? Would you like, which is basically a shot. I'm like, sure. So
you've been drinking wine all through dinner,
right.
Now they want you to have their limoncello tasting.
Right, so we probably had, 10,
a lot.
15 limoncello shots. And limoncello is not good until you've had 5. Then you can't taste it anymore, and it's fine. So we're, we went through this lot, and actually I think we brought some home for the kids because we don't much care for them. And here you go, have some limoncello. So they had limoncello here.
Now, I'm a big fan of limoncello. Like, one of my all-time favorite drinks is limoncello lemon drop.
Oh.
I mean, we have a bottle of it in our refrigerator.
Guess what these guys do? They make homemade limoncello.
That was really
what?
Cool. Isn't that cool that they make it themselves? And it takes quite a while.
So I'm like, okay, can you show me? Can you show me how you do that? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so I won't go through all the details and how long it takes, but they actually showed me. There it is. That is, you can't see it in this picture, but it says 6 to 12, I think, on there.
Like a vat of limoncello.
And it says that basically is when that limoncello becomes ready to go.
And they bottle it and serve it up.
Yeah, and so they gave us both a sample of that. And let me tell you, all of a sudden, limoncello, not so bad.
It was
pretty good,
smooth, and a great taste.
That was
like
great.
That perfect mix of tangy and tart, and it was very cold. And
that was great.
It was a lovely way to end the dinner.
So I think these guys just got done with their 1 year, or just passed 1 year. So congratulations.
They have been open for a year.
Yeah.
Can we talk about some of the other things that they? Because it's not just a pizza place. It's not. They have, I think, paninis, like sandwiches, several different kinds of salads. They got pastas,
sea bass,
and they had a whole list of specials that day.
Right.
That some of that looked phenomenal. Remember that roasted chicken?
Oh, that chicken looked great. So
yeah, so they have a very wide menu. It is not just pizza. This is definitely a you go there for the quality. This isn't like, you know.
Yeah, go.
This is quality over quantity.
And the reason why we're spending
Fantastic.
Time telling you this, why are we spending all this time on one restaurant? Here's
because
why.
Because we loved it.
Two reasons. A, if you're a local and you haven't got down there, because the vast majority of locals aren't in that area.
Take a road trip.
Go on down there and check these guys out. They're doing a good job. The other reason why we're saying this is if you're a tourist, most tourists don't get off the strip. The people who were sitting next to us were staying at Wynn and heard about it and wanted to come and check out the place. So if you're a tourist and you're going to be here a few days and you want to get off the beaten path but have some amazing food, check out, again, Dufournay. Their address is 3555 South Town Center Drive, number 105 in Las Vegas.
Well, we'll definitely be back.
Yeah, good stuff.
My favorite pizza place.
Yeah, it's outstanding. We will definitely be back for certain. All right, we're going to take a quick 15-second break, and we're going to talk about... part of my attire here. Living in Las Vegas, be right back.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny because this is David from. You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
Oh, that happened a little early, didn't it, Sam? This is pretty fun. Sam's out there barking. 3, 2, what? Oh, look at that. Oh, well. Push-ups. Jacob, have you talked to her about the push-ups and the $5 deal? Oh, we're going to give her a break on that, right? We're going to give her, it's only $1. $1 mistake in push-ups.
Did you know about this, Sam, when you signed
on? Oh, now she's picking up. That's $10.
Let's not distract her.
All right, sorry, Sam. There she is. Atta girl. After we had some great pizza for my birthday, my lovely wife offered many things. None of which I really doesn't talk about. BBN2.
None of which. Some of this is a figment of your own imagination.
It is. There used to be a time where I would ask for things and she'd say, yes, I love you.
Now it's a negotiation, isn't it?
It's not even that.
Now it's all about the negotiation.
I can't believe you guys are beating the hell out of my homepage there. Oh, by the way, Blip TV. You guys suck. Right? You suck. Anyways, so after pizza and a little limoncello and some, lovey eyes from you, she's like, your birthday is coming up. I'm like, really? Okay.
Your birthday had passed, babe.
I know, but let's do it. I'm like, okay, finally, I get to be, this could be really funny, or I would be divorced and we wouldn't make 10 years. Okay, I prefer to be 10 years. So she offered to buy me boots. And
on my birthday.
This
didn't happen,
right.
A month later.
In February, she said, part of what you get besides more rejection in the heart is boots. I'm like, okay, boots are good. So we went to the biggest frickin' boot place in the world, known as the Boot Barn.
Boot Mecca.
Boot Barn. And so even though I don't walk or talk like this, we went into the Boot Barn.
Because, you don't have to speak like that to dig boots.
You don't. And I like the boots.
You're the perfect example, actually.
I do. I like, I have.
You're a Southern California guy.
Right.
Born and raised.
Got kind of a thing going. Hey, what's happening? Hey, wow, I just, look at me.
You were more.
It's a Poseidon. It's a Poseidon adventure.
You're more Spicoli than Urban Cowboy.
I am. I'm a more Spicoli than Urban Cowboy. But I like the boots, with the right kind of outfit, a nice sport coat with some flashy stuff. Boots are good. I have boots.
But they have to have a certain vibe.
Right, exactly.
The boots have to have a certain vibe.
Exactly, exactly. So we went to the boot barn and we walked
in. It's a destination.
It is. Well, first of all, it's huge. It is monstrous.
Wait, was it bigger than you expected?
You know what? It's deceptive. So it's on the strip. Well, south of the
look
strip.
Look how that looks like there. It goes forever. That is a really good picture to show.
It is. I took
how many boots we're talking about.
So you look at the front of it, and it's just a small little facade. You know, about that big.
Did you take a picture of the front?
I did, and for some reason I didn't get it.
Oh. Okay.
And so you look at the front, and you go, okay, well it's all right. And then you go to the side, and you realize it goes a block back. It just keeps going. You walk in from the side, so we go in from the side, and we see this place, and it's like boots. I mean, it's nothing but boots.
It's Boots
called.
Galore.
It's Boots Barn. So we were met immediately by Mark.
I think his name is Mark.
We'll call him Mark. And
he is a great sales guy.
He was a very good sales guy. He knew his boots.
He's been selling boots for a long time.
Been selling boots for 5 years, 6 years.
Did you think he was the nicest guy?
He was nice. He was
not
friendly.
Pushy.
Well, he was an effective salesperson. He did a couple of the sales techniques. He did the he did a little bit of Ben Franklin. He did a little of the alternative clothes. He did a lot of sales techniques that, God bless his little heart.
He didn't feel pushy at all to me. I really, and I saw another guy there selling boots too.
Yeah.
When I went to look at the women's boots, and he also wasn't pushy. I like that.
I do too. And they have a lot of boots. Really? You know what? Boots can range in cost by quite a bit.
Were you surprised?
Well, I wasn't until I actually saw that what I had heard is true. So, for example, you can get boots for as low as, let's call them $150. Or you can take an alligator out and spend $1,000, which I thought seemed like a lot of money for a pair of boots.
They had, what were some of the other exotic
boots? Alligators, snake, ostrich.
Eel.
Basically, it was like the San Diego Zoo let go. And they're just like... We're tired of these animals. Let's make some boots. As a matter of fact, at the checkout, they had
a snake. What was the snake? Python?
Yeah, on the checkout, they had this big, giant snake skin that went up this post and around the ceiling. And I'm like, I can't be real. I go, no, that's a real 25-foot python or whatever.
It was too big to make
boots
out of.
But the pattern wasn't right.
It was too big.
The pattern was too wide to make boots out of. So they sent us this skin. I'm like, okay, great. So... We go in there, we start checking out boots, and Mark was very, very good. I kind of wanted a rock and roll-y kind of thing.
More than a country boot.
A country thing. You know, he did try to pitch the ones with the big cross on the toe. I passed on the cross.
Yeah, not...
Didn't quite make sense to me.
You weren't looking for Motley Crue boots.
Right. It's... Oh, look at that. Oh, nice shot by the...
Are you going to show the top part or no?
Well, I can. Sure, here. So these are what we ended up getting. Does that work? Can you see that? Oh, that's not a bad shot, is it? Now, come to find out.
Those are great boots.
Those boots, when I had my foot up like this, Sam saw the bottom of my foot. Oops, stand by. There it is. And she went, damn, post boots. Oh.
Seriously?
You've got yourself a nice pair of boots right there. So who knew? Who knew damn post? And now
you have good taste in boots.
Mark, the sales guy, is going, well, damn post boots are good boots. I'm like, well, okay. How would I know? Apparently, Sam knows that damn post boots are good boots. Now, the reason why Sam knows that, by the way, she's done commercials for this company, so she's got a little inside scoop going on. That's right. We hire the best. But I tried on a bunch of boots, and they had some pretty cool tools there. They had the boot taker offer tool.
Oh, did you get a picture of that?
No, because I'm an idiot. But I'll show you how it works. Down here. The boot taker offer tool works like this. Okay.
And they make them at the boot barn.
Let me see. Go out. Yeah, come out a little bit more. So what happens is the boot taker hour tool is this piece of wood with this little thing here in it.
It's like a U-shaped notch.
Right, and you go into this boot taker outer thing, and you hold it in the other hand, the other foot, and then you pull your foot out. The boot taker outer thing.
It slips the boot off in 2 seconds.
Left. It was genius. And you can buy those. I did. And then we decided, okay, I'm going to buy these boots. Now, these boots were, how much were these boots?
Well, I don't think we need to talk about
right.
that.
It wasn't that much. It was much less than I thought I deserved. I mean, it was a good deal. I was thinking $700 for my boots. And Sam,
you mean
about
you thought you'd spend $700?
I thought you'd spend $700 on my boots.
Well, I would have if you had picked out.
But I didn't want to. because I love you. And
well, did you see a boots that you liked
no,
more?
No, 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 no. This actually, it was a happy accident. These were my favorite boots, and they were reasonably priced. Sam, guessed it. Let's say it's less than
I
$3.
I didn't put a price tag on.
No, because your heart is this big.
I said I'd buy you boots. There was no parameter.
Right. And then we decided to look at girl boots. And I'll tell you right now, girl boots are better than men boots. They're prettier. They got better colors.
More variety.
The boots that you tried on, I'd have bought. The turquoise, little hole turquoise things, awesome. But we learned some magic, boot magic.
Well, yeah, right. So I have an issue because I have a really high arch and stuff. I don't know. I have a really high arch. So I always have a lot of problems buying women's boots if they don't have a zipper that goes all the way down. I can't get my foot to go all the way through the shaft of the boot.
Right.
So, I mean, it just gets stuck. Like, it's just not going anywhere. So I was talking to Mark, and I was like, hey, you know, I can't really try any boots on, but I'd love to get a pair.
And Mark was like,
oh,
darling.
He had a trick.
We could take care of you.
What you need?
What you need is some plastic bags.
A plastic bag.
I'm like, what?
Are you serious?
And that's what, that picture right there is that. So what you do is you put your foot in the plastic bag, and then you put your foot that's in the plastic bag into the boot.
And it went in.
Slides in
like that.
Like it was meant to be.
It's crazy. So I was talking to Marie here. Gotta try it. I would not have believed it if I hadn't tried it.
And it's the thing. Everybody does it.
And it, yeah. And then what you do is you just
rip the plastic bag out, and you're all set.
And you're all done, and you're ready to go.
And then.
With the cowboy boots, he said for women that's actually a common problem.
Right.
And you just have to do that a few times and wear the boots, and the boots actually start to give. And then eventually you can just
get right in.
Them in. Yeah.
So
I was shocked because I really didn't think that I would be able to buy boots. Now, I ended up, what boots were those that you took a picture of?
Can we see up hers again? Were those the turquoise? Oh,
no.
Look at those. They were. Look at that. I don't know if you can see it. You see the turquoise holes in there? Is that the coolest thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I can see it.
Oh, man. I would wear those boots.
Well,
I love it.
And I would have bought them no problem, but here's my problem. It's summer. I'm not going to be wearing boots. I'm going to be wearing sandals and flip-flops. So maybe next fall I'll take a – and plus I just bought 3 pairs of boots this season.
What?
So.
Anyways, a couple quick pictures if we haven't seen them
all. I have a shoe issue.
Again. Okay, what else? What's the last one? Let me just see it. Oh, yeah, that's the picture of that. Let's just – one more time. Let's look at how big this place is.
And
give
they
a couple
Western,
shots.
If you're into Western clothing and hats,
yeah,
all that stuff, they have all that there. If you're coming from out of town and you need a new pair of boots, go to this place because I can't imagine, unless you're in Texas, that you would find a bigger variety of boots.
Well, he was telling us about, Mark was telling about a guy from Australia who flew all the way to Australia primarily to go to the boot barn and buy boots.
Because he saw a pair of boots on their website, I think, that he really wanted.
Crazy. So that was good.
Great.
You know, and they're going to try to sell you all the other stuff. I actually bought the shoe tree because my previous boots did collapse a little bit. But everybody was very nice. The price, I thought, was reasonable. Of course, I didn't buy $1,000 boots. It's easy to get to. They're good people. Boot Barn, here's their website again. I'm going to assume it's bootbarn.com or something like that.
Would you buy another pair of boots? Would you ever want more than one pair?
I would, but I would want them. I would like to have them with more groovy things going on here, a little bit more loud.
You don't want to look like Urban Cowboy.
Well, no, I just want more, even louder. Huh. Cowboy, everybody's singing. Camera 4, let's get you all 3 rocking back and forth and singing.
Wouldn't it have been funny if they had cowboy hats on?
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you add that there, Mr. Graphic Guy?
We did not go over that in pre-pro.
I'm sorry.
I'm very funny and creative.
You are. Anyways, win. Give us a call. Try to fix that problem with that Larev thing. Do Fournee or Fournee or whatever pizza. Eat it. And Boot Barn.
Buy it.
Kick it up. And that's
that's
basically it, kids.
Get your kick.
That's it. And that's it for the big show. Thanks again, everybody, for playing along. Again, if you want to reach out to us, our email address is onairq@livinganlv.com. And our toll-free number doesn't exist anymore. And we're doing the super-duper easy on the homepage kind of thing. And you can check us out on iTunes and Roku and all that other groovy stuff. And we love that. Oh, by the way, if you want to be adopted, you'll send an email to friends@livinginlv.com. Again, that's friends@livinginlv. Nice job, Sam. See if I could catch you on that. Well played. That's it, everybody. Thanks for joining along. And everybody, thanks for the nice words for other things in our lives. And we appreciate that. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Dick.